Bienvenidos al Ingrediente Secreto. Soy Olga Hurtado y hoy vamos a descubrir los desafíos y aciertos reales que enfrentan quienes emprenden con propósito. Estás viendo Now Media Televisión.
Welcome to El Ingrediente Secreto. I'm Olga Hurtado. Today, we're looking at the human and operational side of business transformation, the decisions, habits, and systems that help entrepreneurs move from survival mode to sustainable success. My guest today is Chris Meredith, a leadership strategist with more than 4 decades of experience, including military leadership, executive advisory work, and deep systems thinking through MCS. Chris, welcome to El Ingrediente Secreto.
It is great to be here. I appreciate you having me today, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, Chris. So let's go to the questions. Chris, when you look back over 4 decades of leadership experience, what have you learned about how people grow under pressure?
Well, I like to call pressure tensions because every one of us throughout our life, regardless, personal life, family life, business life, all of us has pressures or tensions that comes our way. And so really we're at a pivoting point whenever those tensions actually present themselves. A lot of people have a tendency to fall back into old habits or what I call their safety net. That's the old habits that they're used to doing and what they're comfortable with. But if people will embrace pressure, if they will be patient through it, if leaders will make sure that people and their staff and those that they're leading actually has clarity, they have understanding, they know what to expect, they understand what's taking place. The goal really is to use pressure or tensions to develop people. And it can go either way. You can either decide not to let pressure help you grow, or you can decide to grow through it. What I look at when pressure or tensions arise, I see it as where my capacity level is. And I see I start looking at that capacity level. And if that pressure is really so heavy that I can't really press through it, so to speak, then I know I need to pause and I need to embrace it. I need to listen. I need to look at my feedback loops. In other words, what is it telling me about myself? What is it telling me about my leadership? And then I need to learn to submit to those things that need to bring about the growth I need to be able to handle the pressures that exist. And lastly, as leaders, we need to make sure that those we're leading has the clarity that I spoke about earlier, has the level of confidence that they need, understand what their role is in this specific area, and understand what's taking place and use that as a growth opportunity.
That's interesting, Chris. Let me ask you, because you have the military experience, how did military leadership shape the way you think about everything, about discipline, constant, you know, accountability, decision-making in business? How did that help you do that?
Well, I appreciate the question because the military is really one of the places that I learned discipline. And maybe I should say it this way. It's where really the understanding of discipline come together for me. I really learned that leadership is not about rank. It's not about position. It's really not about title. It's really about the responsibilities that we carry. It's about understanding the mission. It's about being prepared. It's about making the best decisions that you can possibly make. Because when people are depending on you, and sometimes, by the way, things are unclear. You don't have all the information you need, or maybe you have a lot of information, but the idea is the discipline of using what information you have to be able to take the responsibility, create a discipline that comes with it. Because discipline, a lot of people think of discipline as a punishment. I don't see discipline as a punishment. I actually see discipline as the ability to remain align with the mission that you actually have, to keep the standard, to keep the values and the circumstances in the middle of difficulty. So in business, that actually for me translated into consistency. It translated into follow through. It translated into doing what you say that you're going to do. And it also teaches us that accountability starts with the leader themselves. So if I provide, if I take responsibility and I provide as a leader clarity and resources and give people the support that they actually need, then I know that that responsibility is going to transfer to them as well. And I'll kind of summarize it by saying it this way, that the military really helped me to understand that leaders are responsible, but they're not responsible only for themselves, but they're responsible for the decisions they make. And ultimately, they're responsible for the conditions that they create around the people that are carrying out those decisions. So the military taught me a lot of good when it comes to that. It also taught me that top-down leadership by itself is not necessarily the most effective way to lead people. But when you look at the disciplines and the structure and the consistency and the understanding of responsibility, and you use that as a base to build your systems and your systems thinking around, you'll always have good results in the end. So I will always forever be appreciative for what I did learn in the military.
That's extremely, extremely motivational, because what you said about discipline, it stuck with me. And I think if someone is watching right now, they should be taking notes. Discipline is not a punishment. I love that, Chris. Thank you for sharing that with us. So Chris, how can a leader identify whether the company problem is really a strategy problem or a people problem or a systems problem?
That's a really good question. And the answer is really simple. There's a lot of depth to this answer, but the answer is really simple. It's avoiding assumptions. In other words, it's avoiding coming to conclusions really too quickly. A lot of times when something goes wrong, people are often, because they're the most visible sign of something or the most visible sign of an issue, because obviously you're seeing what a person does on a daily basis, leaders automatically begin to assume that they have a people problem. And I'm not going to deny that sometimes that they don't have a people problem. You do. But the behavior that's actually coming from the people could be coming because of unclear strategy, could be coming because of broken processes. It could be coming because of conflicting incentives, or poor communication or structure that just really doesn't make a lot of sense. So if I were coaching someone, and by the way, this is a common issue in coaching, is leaders will quite often say, I've got a problem with this person, and that is my bottleneck. And in reality, my first question for them is a leadership question. Before we get to the people question, my first question is do we actually have a people problem, or is there a lack of clarity? Is there a lack of structure? Is there a lack of understanding of their role? And so I would begin by asking a few basic questions to really determine that. Number one, what is actually happening? Number two, how often is it happening? What I'm looking for there is patterns. Where is it occurring at? Not just who it's occurring with, but where in the system? And what conditions are present when those things are happening? And then lastly, I would ask, is this an isolated event, or is it a real pattern that's taking place? If it's a real pattern, then there could be a lot of things in the midst of it. So when we examine whether it's a people problem or a strategy problem or a leadership problem, I kind of conclude with this thought that the pattern is the point, because a reoccurring problem is usually giving us information about what's surrounding that specific issue. So I would just simply say this, that good leadership diagnosis separates the visible symptom from the condition that continues producing it. So again, I'll say that again, that good leadership, when they really diagnose their problem, they separate the visible symptom from the condition that continues producing it. Once we determine whether or not it's the condition that's producing it, or whether or not it is the people themselves that could be the problem, then we know how to solve the problem that we have.
Wow, Chris, that was so insightful. Chris, stay with us after the break. We will talk about why surface level tactics rarely create lasting change and how leaders can build systems that support healthy growth.
Ya volvemos con más historias, herramientas y consejos que te ayudarán a transformar tu negocio. Esto es El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Y estamos de vuelta. Soy Olga Hurtado y estás viendo El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Sigamos con la conversación de hoy.
Welcome back to El Ingrediente Secreto. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're in the move, catch the podcast version at nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, wellness, and beyond, Now Media TV is a streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So before the break, Chris and I were having a great conversation about how pressure, discipline, and values shape leadership. Now we are going deeper into systems thinking and why businesses can't create lasting profit if everything depends on the owner reacting in the moment. I love this conversation. So Chris, what does systems thinking mean in practical terms for a small business owner or entrepreneur?
Well, it actually means that it's pretty simple. Because it really means that understanding the business itself is not simply a collection of separate departments or people or activities. In other words, it's a connected system. A lot of times, leaders really look at things in isolated events. In other words, they'll see this one area of their business one way. They'll see another area of their business another way, especially if there are different departments within that business. And even if they're building something new and from ground up, the key is understanding that as you build your business, or if you already have a business that has multiple components to it, or multiple divisions or multiple departments, that everything is really connected, and it connects through information, it connects through processes, it connects through incentives. It connects through decisions. So for the small business owner, systems thinking really begins by taking a step back from the immediate issues that they're dealing with and asking what else and what may be influencing decisions in their company as a whole. So to go a step further and to kind of summarize it, systems thinking really helps the leaders see the complexity of anything that they're dealing with more clearly, so that decisions can be made more clearly and with great intention. But in summary, it is literally a collection of all of your components of being a connected system. They're all one unit rather than separate units. So systems thinking is really simple when you think about it from the standpoint that it's about connectivity. It's about everything being important and every decision being important and every activity being important and how it connects to other activity and whatever your strategic plan may be as a company.
I love that. And the one that says taking the step back, I love that because sometimes as business owners, we don't do that. So we need to step, you know, take a step back to do that. So what is a one warning sign that a company that is growing faster than its systems can support?
So the one warning sign that I would look at, now there's a lot of them, obviously, but probably the major warning sign that that a business is producing more revenue or activity, but the organization is really still chaotic. A lot of times you see that reflected in customer complaints. You see it reflected internally with details being missed. You see employees working longer hours and the owners really becoming more involved in the decisions instead of less involved in things. And communication becomes inconsistent and problems keep returning. That's those patterns I was talking about. And so really what happens is growth is a tension or a pressure that we talked about earlier. Growth actually magnifies what already exists. So if the business has clarity or trust or discipline, that's going to be revealed. It's going to be strengthened during that particular time. But if it has confusion or weak communication or unclear authority with employees, growth is also going to expose that weakness. So revenue growth alone really doesn't mean that the business is becoming healthier. A lot of people think, well, because it's growing, it's becoming healthier. But leaders have to ask really the question and the underlying question, you know, is revenue by itself strong enough to really sustain us? Or is there a weakness within our system that we're actually dealing with? When I'm asked to go review, as an example, an event for a company and what's happening with that company, and I'm in there looking at it and I see all these great things taking place and all of this excitement, my first thought is what is the capacity of that organization and what is really happening behind the scenes? Is it really that smooth? Is it really that clear? Or is there chaos out there somewhere or misunderstanding or lack of information, whatever it may be? But ultimately, the main sign is that the business itself is growing, but there's chaos within the organization itself.
So basically, Chris, what I'm hearing is you need a framework, right, for everything. So, Chris, how should entrepreneurs begin documenting these processes, decisions, leadership principles that currently live on their heads?
Well, I like the word beginning because that is a true word. That is exactly what I would be looking at, because the first thing is to begin with areas where the business is most dependent on them. So if I were looking at it from that particular standpoint, I would say to that entrepreneur, and that's exactly what we're doing now, is start where the business is most dependent on you. And so I would ask this question to myself or to that entrepreneur: what decisions can only be made today because you possess the knowledge that nobody else has? And what processes actually stops when you're unavailable? Where do employees go for clarification? So they can really begin by documenting the purpose of the process and the major steps in the process, the decision points in the process, who is actually responsible for those decisions, and what good performance should actually look like. So in other words, leaders in documenting these type of things begin to transfer context, not merely instructions. Quite often as leaders, we tell people what to do and we may document that, but are we really documenting the context of all of these things so that if I weren't there? I asked a leader this the other day. I said, if you were gone for 6 months, what would your company look like when you got back? Because right, ultimately that would tell me how much has been transferred over. So the real goal is to take what is intuitive really to the founder or to the owner, to the entrepreneur, and just make it understandable, make it teachable, make it repeatable throughout the organization.
I love it. And I wrote this, PSDAG, Purpose, Steps, Decisions, Accountability, and Good Performance, just so you take notes too. So coming up next, we will look at the leader behind the system, because a company cannot transform beyond the mindset and maturity on the person leading it.
Ya volvemos con más historias, herramientas y consejos que te ayudarán a transformar tu negocio. Esto es El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Y estamos de vuelta. Soy Olga Hurtado y estás viendo El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Sigamos con la conversación de hoy.
Welcome back. We have talked about leadership and systems. Now I want to connect to the mindset, because the way a leader thinks, learns, and responds to failure directly shapes the business they are trying to build. So, Chris, you describe your work as shaped by success, failure, mentorship, and continuous study. Which of those had taught you the most?
You know, the tough part of that question is that really it's hard to separate them. And I'll explain why. Because they really have all worked together in my life to create the results that we have today. And by the way, we're all still in a growth mode. We're all still growing. We're all still developing. And so it's all of those things that still contribute to my personal growth as well as others' growth as well. But ultimately, success, I will put it this way, success really showed me what was possible. Mentorship really helped me see beyond what I knew at the time. And continuous study gave me language, it gave me frameworks, it gave me a deeper understanding of experiences that really I had already lived. But what failure really did is force me to reflect. Success can confirm things. And by the way, we need to examine our successes as well, because sometimes we need to make sure that the proper structure is built under that success to continue it. But failure really brings a question to us. It makes us examine our assumptions and our judgment and our communication. You know, failure taught me as a leader that, to work hard. It taught me to keep moving forward. It taught me to listen more. So I'm not glorifying failure in any way, because failure obviously can be costly, but when we examine it properly, it can be a great teacher to us as well. And success builds confidence if it's properly examined, but failure, and I like this part because this is what really strengthens us for the long term. Success builds confidence if properly examined, but failure can build maturity if we properly examine that as well. So really, Olga, they all work together for the good and the outcome.
Right. And this is something I've heard a lot, is that failure, it's always the best teacher. So when you use failure to grow, is that when you actually, you're growing your business. So welcome failure and success as well. So Chris, how can leaders use failure as information rather than allowing it to become identity or fear?
That is a great question, because we all know that if failures can steal our confidence, it can make us question ourselves. And so really what has to happen is the leader has to compartmentalize. They have to separate the event from their own identity. In other words, that just because there was a bad decision or something didn't work out or sometimes it's not even in your control. It could be outside influences that brought about failure. But whatever that may be, you have to understand as a leader that that's not who you are. When I'm coaching, one of the first things I'm coaching is helping leaders understand who they are in their particular role. Because if you're really solid in your identity and your role, then you can understand that circumstances or events or failures is really not who you are. So you, then you go to the questioning of the failure itself, and you look at it from the standpoint of what is the outcome actually teaching me, whether it's a success or a failure. I look at success just as hard as I look at failure, so that I can keep expanding my capacity and building on it. So any failure turns into information, any success turns into information. And at the same time, leaders have to accept the responsibility of not being self-condemning and not letting themselves lose their identity. Own your part, learn from it. Shame basically says that the outcome defines who I am, but that's not what identity actually does, regardless of the failure. So fear grows when failure remains unexamined, and wisdom grows when we actually face it. And so I would rather face it and grow in wisdom. And I'll close this by saying this, that a healthy leader doesn't become careless because failure is possible. Failure is always possible, but neither do they become paralyzed by the fear of ever being wrong. So don't let fear of failure, and don't let failure define who you are. Grow in your identity individually yourself, and then you'll be able to handle the failures and learn from them and grow in wisdom like you should be.
Amazing. So, Chris, what limiting beliefs do you see in executives or entrepreneurs who are capable of more, but they remain stuck?
That is a really good question, because it happens all the time. It happens in business. It happens in our everyday life. So one limiting belief that I'll highlight is that the idea that because that leader built the business, that they have to continually carry every part of it as the business grows. But I would beg to differ from this standpoint, that what helped the leader or the entrepreneur start the company and build it to where it's at today may not be what's actually needed to allow the company to grow. That goes back to expanding our capacity. So the habits that created the early success can literally become constraints later if we're not examining them constantly and shaping that capacity that we talked about quite a bit. So I would say one other thing, that another limiting belief is that nobody can do it as well as I can. And so they really are confusing. They're really creating a weakness, are showing a weakness by believing that, because ultimately people can carry out, if you communicate it properly, if you develop people properly, if you continue to help people grow and understand the whys behind your mission and the things that are actually needing to be decided on and why they're needing to be decided on, how connectivity actually takes place. And if you're open as a leader, this goes back to identity, because if our identity is secure in the role that we're in, I know as a leader that I can bottleneck things. And I know that what I did when I was a young leader or when I was building my business is not the decisions that have to be made today. They're foundational, but it's not what has to be made. So I'll just simply summarize it by saying that leaders often get stuck, not because they lack a ability, but because an old belief or a continual belief that believing what they did before is what has to happen today. And when they have that mindset, they actually limit growth. Or I should say we do, because I've made that mistake. So I'm speaking from experience, not from just seeing it from the other side. So yeah, I learned through failures.
All of us, when we are starting our businesses, Chris, we're always thinking like, oh, we need to control everything, control freaks. And that's actually very hurtful for our businesses when the business evolves. So we need to change that mindset, definitely. So, Chris, what practices help leaders stay grounded, like reflected and open to transformation while still making hard business decisions?
So one of the biggest, and this one all is a struggle for a lot of leaders. It's really very, very, very simple, but a lot of leaders struggle with it because they almost feel that they don't have time to do this. Or back to the previous question, they have they've always done it a certain way. But here's the answer to that. So I would say that probably the most important practice is creating intentional space for reflection. In other words, constantly asking themselves, what are they seeing? What are we assuming? What is changing? And what decisions are producing throughout the organization? Also need trusted people around us who can speak honestly to them. Sad to say that the higher that some people rise, the easier it becomes for people to tell you what you want to hear. That's not alignment, and that's not real support. Hearing what I may want to hear may not be the answers that I need. So if leaders would spend time reflecting, and if leaders would spend time developing people who can speak honestly to them, I love feedback loops. I get this all the time. People are constantly saying something. I had someone say something to me the other day that they heard somebody else say. And I said, why didn't you tell them to come to me? I said, I love feedback. I like to hear what people are thinking. And I need to see it because I may be doing something that I need to correct. So I'll summarize all of that by saying this, that leaders have to remain grounded in clear values. Hard decisions are always going to be a part of business, but being reflective doesn't mean you're being indecisive. What it means is that you're slowing down long enough to make sure that urgency and fear and ego or convenience by itself is not making those decisions for us.
I love that. And I'm going to stay with intentional space for reflection. We need to be more intentional when we are separating ourselves from our business to think about it. So in our final segment, we will bring this conversation back to execution. How leaders can turn insight into action, create healthier growth, and build a company that reflects their values.
Ya volvemos con más historias, herramientas y consejos que te ayudarán a transformar tu negocio. Esto es El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Y estamos de vuelta. Soy Olga Hurtado y estás viendo El Ingrediente Secreto por Now Media Televisión. Sigamos con la conversación de hoy.
Welcome back to El Ingrediente Secreto. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock a non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, catch the podcast version at nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, wellness, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So before the break, Chris and I explored how mindset, mentorship, and failure shape the leader behind the business. Now we're closing with practical steps entrepreneurs can take to transform insight into disciplined action. So Chris, what should a leader do first when they know the business needs change, but they don't know how to begin?
Well, the first step is being honest. Before you create a new plan, identify or understand, you know, what's actually happening. And I call it defining current reality. You've got to really take a look at where things are at. You've got to be honest about where they're at. You need to identify just one or two issues. You don't have to actually make the full list, because you've got to start somewhere. And I would also say that you need to bring the right people into the conversation. And what I mean by that is that as a leader, we're sometimes looking at it through a wider lens and we're seeing it from the outside in. But there are people in that organization or who is a part of the things that are taking place can actually see it within. I call this real honest feedback. I love feedback because feedback helps me understand and see things that I couldn't see without the eyes of others sometimes. So bring the right people in. So transformation really begins when we make an honest diagnosis of what's taking place. And really the first courageous step is not going out there and making some major initiative or making a big announcement about it because of the fact that you're now reacting to something. It's really coming to a place where you're able to face the reality, where you're able to look at what matters most and then decide what needs to be addressed first and then start addressing it. And that will help begin to shape it and help begin to bring clarity that you need throughout the process.
And Chris, what those values-driven transformation look like when a team is under pressure to hit the numbers?
So I will clarify this first, because I certainly don't want any of my colleagues out there to say that I don't believe that numbers are important. Numbers are important. Obviously, a part of my coaching and a part of many other coaches is to help generate revenue. So I want to be clear up front that numbers do matter. But what I will say is that numbers can never be an excuse to abandon what the organization really claims to be. You've built your organization on certain values, hopefully you have, and you've built it to this point on those values. And just because things look a little strange, just because they look a little slow right now, just because the revenue is not where it should be, it's easy to be tempted to compromise those values. But as a leader, my role is to clarify the performance expectations, to make sure that my teams know that. But because I believe in values-driven leadership, I believe that if you compromise those values in any way to get the numbers, you're only opening a door for future compromises, and you're beginning to break the very foundation that you built on. So true values organizations really become visible under pressure. It really shows us where we're really at. But if we stick to those values, they will guide our performance. And I will guarantee you that foundation that you're building on can't be shaken. And if those values are not compromised, your foundation remains sure. And you'll gain the wisdom, you'll gain the insight, you'll gain the direction. But be willing to stick to those values and you'll see the growth that you need to have.
So from this question, I'm taking foundation and values. Please take note, because those are extremely important words in our business. So, Chris, what is one leadership habit that can immediately improve clarity, accountability, and execution?
So the first thing is to make sure that your priorities are clear. Make sure that your commitments are clear. When an organization asks me that question, and they're really trying to find that clarity and gain that accountability, my first question is tell me what your priorities are and tell me what your commitments are, and then establish a rhythm around those. Every company, every individual, everyone has 40 things to do or more. Well, narrow those things down to a handful of things that have the most effect on whatever your priorities are and whatever your commitments are. And so create that cadence, because that cadence is going to create stability within the organization. It's going to keep those promises sure. It's going to keep that ownership of those employees sure. It's going to make sure that things are not scattered throughout the organization, but it's consistent. So the real key to that is discipline. Leaders cannot follow up only on what they're frustrated with or when they're frustrated with something. They have to make sure they're being very consistent around the priorities and around their commitments. So in summary of that, a regular rhythm of clarity, a rhythm of ownership, a rhythm of support, a rhythm of measurement, a rhythm of follow through, and all of those things combined will bring about execution almost immediately, but maintain that rhythm.
Wow. The key is discipline, consistency, and commitment. We are learning a lot from you, Chris, today. So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who want their business to become more profitable without losing the purpose that made them start?
Well, the first thing I ask any company that's interviewing me, that calls me and asks me about coming to work with them and to help them in some specific areas, after they've interviewed me and they've made that decision, then I have to make a decision. Because my question always is, and this is so foundational, and it may even sound simple, but it's actually foundational. And the real question is, when that comes, is really from the standpoint of what is your why? What is your purpose? What are you really focused on? What is that foundational reason that you do what you do? So as an entrepreneur, I would ask these questions, and I do ask them to entrepreneurs all the time. So what values are you really trying to create? Who are we serving with our why, with our purpose? What principles do we have that are non-negotiable? How should people, whether it's our employees or whether it's customers, experience this company? What does our why do to bring an experience to them? And really, what kind of organization are we really wanting to become as we continue to grow? So remember that purpose doesn't permit or doesn't prevent profitability. Purpose actually drives profitability. So the business should continue to remain small as it grows large. And what I mean by that is keeping that why out there, keeping that purpose out there, making sure that's communicated throughout our system, making sure our employees and everything that we do, from our communication to how we structure things moving forward, are all wrapped up in that purpose or wrapped up in that why. And so I'll just reiterate, remain small as you grow large and keep that purpose out front. And sometimes as leaders, we literally have to go back and restir that. In the farming world, they call that breaking up your fallow ground. It's like going by a field out there that has been planted and harvested and that field has crusted over dirt. And before that farmer can replant, they have to go back out there and restir or re-till that dirt. And when they do that, they've broken up that fallow ground. And so sometimes as leaders, we've got to restir our purpose and restir our why and make sure everything we're doing is driven by that.
Wow, Chris, we have learned so much from you today. We've learned about the why, the purpose, the foundation, the values, the remain small as you grow large. I think that's my main takeaway today. So Chris, for viewers who want to learn more, how can they connect with you?
Well, they can reach out to me on my website. That is Chris. My email is Chris at thinkmcs360.com. And my website is simply thinkmcs360.com. Or again, you can email me directly at Chris at thinkmcs360.com.
Chris, thank you for joining me on the Ingrediente Secreto. This conversation reminds us that growth is not created by numbers alone. The real secret ingredient is the leader who chooses clarity, discipline, values, and systems in strong enough to support the business they want to build. To our viewers, if you're building a business, do not look only at revenue. Look at the decisions, the habits, and the systems that blend that revenue behind. Amol Gurtado, and this is El Ingrediente Secreto.